let your kingdom come. Establish there your throne. Let your will be done. Reign in me, sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Just to think that, you know, if we have that desire, how much greater is His desire, you know, to take over us. And truly, as the scripture says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, frail, weak, marred, insufficient in ourselves, but He's all of our sufficiency. Amen. My goodness, what a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do ask as we sang the song, Lord, that You would reign in us tonight. And Lord, not just tonight, but Lord, in each and every day. Lord, we believe that You're doing a work in Your people, in Your bride, and bringing her into a state of rest, of submission, of, Lord, You having that complete control. So far beyond just, Lord, religiosity and churchianity and forms and impersonations, but, Lord, a living God living in His people. Lord, what could we say but grace, grace? So we just bless You tonight. We thank You for Your amazing grace. Thank You for the work that You're doing, the word that You're performing. Lord, we know You keep Your word so perfectly. We just rejoice in You, Father. We ask You'd bless the service tonight, You'd minister, and Lord, a minister could stand here and have, you know, thoughts and a burden and things, but we know, Lord, it's You that has got to connect and to speak with each and every heart. Lord, we pray that You would do that tonight. You give grace, Lord. Get me out of the way and just minister to Your people and feed them and fill them up and, Lord, just meet their needs. And just rejoice in You tonight. We give You thanks. Bless now the remainder of the time of fellowship, Lord, the ministry of the word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. It's great to see this kind of working. So all that are involved, thank you. It's a blessing. I just even sitting back there, I could see the words coming up on the screen. And well, that's nice. So thank you so much. Everybody good? Thank you, Lynn. So far, so. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, it's really, really, really good to be back. We were gone just for 10 days, but it felt like a long time. And you miss a couple services, and man, does it feel just well to be back. You know, we do give the Lord thanks. We are thankful we can take a trip and get away those things we need to. But there's nothing, I don't care how blessed you are, where you go, what you do, there's nothing in this world that's more wonderful than He is. So a break is nice, but you know, even in a break and a vacation, you want time with Him. And this word that we have, the light of the hour, is so precious. So the fellowship we have is wonderful. Good to be back with everybody. It's just felt good walking in here. So and the Lord protected us. Amen. So we were scattered. I think a lot of different folks traveling there for a while, and everybody's back. So that's wonderful. Lord, don't you love Him? Amen. How is everybody doing? How's the fight? And I say that, I choose that word very purposefully. How's the fight? So it is a battle. We know that. And I want to just share some things tonight, just kind of hopefully encourage us and, you know, the hour that we're living in, the way that things are going, and that we would be encouraged, really, that not discouraged when things are hard. You know, Brother Branham, I love it how he talks about the soldiers. You know, God doesn't get you in ready for battle and get you armor and get you all the weapons and to feed you cookies. I think he makes that remark. I thought, that's right. So we're here on the battlefield, and the Lord's moving. I believe that. The hour is short. I think that we can see that things are winding up in different ways, the conditions around us and even the events. You know, you look at the wars, the Middle East, there's so much, I think, that's just, you know, taking place. So let's just be mindful and on guard. And so I want to share something tonight, just the Lord put on my heart. And maybe let's just open up with a scripture. We'll turn to Genesis chapter 5. And just love this. It's beautiful. But thinking kind of what got me started and going down this path is just thinking about Enoch. So we'll, if you would stand with me, we'll open up to Genesis 5. Just start with one verse here. And verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God. Oh my, right there. There's just so much right there. Yes. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now think about that. So we know we could have a very kind of carnal, I guess, so a little bit of an idea of our own mind what walking with God looks like. And we know through the things the prophet's given unto us in this day, we do have, I believe, an understanding of what that looked like. But yet the carnal mind, the human part of us might think that, you know, let me put it this way. What this is not saying when he says that he walked with God, was he in the off in the mountaintops picking, you know, the flowers and separated, completely isolated, completely removed? I don't think so. He built the pyramids. Things were, we know that his time that he walked was right before destruction, right before judgment. So what were the conditions around him? I don't think they were very good. And yet, he walked with God. So it is with everyone here tonight, I believe. He has more. He has sons and daughters, more Enochs in this age that are walking with him, though everything be contrary to that walk. So be encouraged tonight. So you can go ahead and be seated. Want to start from there. We'll actually turn right over, kind of going, backing out right on top of that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, because kind of two different thoughts I'm going to combine tonight. Romans chapter 8. And you are, again, we are predestinated. We are ordained in this day to overcome, to adoption. Okay, so again, thinking of Enoch, thinking of that rapturing condition, thinking of adoption that you're called to. Let's just savor this tonight. So we'll start with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. For whom, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You can see right there, your future, your destiny, your destination, what God has ordained for us. And just combining that again with Enoch, thinking of the reality of the condition of the world around him, it's just so awesome to think about. But just backing up, oh my, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. Let's remember that. We need that reminder sometimes, because the world, the things around us can kind of get us in a tailspin sometimes, get us flustered and upset, and you got to remember all things work together. And I don't know about you, today was one of those days where all things were, I had to keep my eyes on that right there. It was just one of those days that, hey, let's look at it this way. Kids, do you know you have an unlimited use? Think of that, unlimited use. The most powerful thing, one of the most powerful things in existence. You have at your fingertips, and you can use it in an unlimited basis. It's an unlimited use prayer pass. yeah, that was me today. I was pulling that out a lot, left and right, just one thing after the other. So anyway, it's just so good for us to keep our eyes fixed on that reality. But again, back to Enoch and these things. If you stop and think about it, as we'll go into the scriptures here tonight, again, looking at Enoch, looking at the natural world around him, we believe, you know, again, judgment conditions, destruction coming, pending, it probably wasn't wonderful. So let's get it, you know, correct ourselves. Let's look into the mirror of God's word and just remind ourselves, hey, when we're talking adoption, when we're thinking in Enoch, you should know one thing. Let's be mature and understand everything around us can and probably will be contrary to what you would think is ideal conditions for this walk. But, you know, God, it's just right. Believe it or not, it's all just right. It's all, again, working according to his plan. Amen. And we think of adoption conditions. Let's think trial. Let's think desert. Let's think wilderness. Let's think heat, isolation, all these things, because it's in these things that God is bringing out of us what's really on the inside, what he has planted, what he is working, what he has given to you that is in there that must be married, if you will, with the circumstances to bring it out, to express it, to fulfill his word and his work in us. So let's just, again, I hope these things are encouraging. Going through the scriptures, we'll just start to do that tonight. You know, even thinking of Paul encouraging Timothy with the words, endure hardness. Wait a second, what? Wait, what? Endure hardness? I don't know if I like that. You can. You can make it. You can do it. You were, you know why? You're a chip off the old block, so to speak. You have it in you, and you are ordained for these things. So hopefully that makes sense. That's kind of the direction I'm heading. Let me just share something here real quick. This is from God of This Evil Age. And I love this because, again, it's kind of going in that same direction to where we think that in our minds we want things just set up just right, and if things aren't going right, well, then something's wrong. And that's definitely not the case. So this is, again, the message, God of This Evil Age. He says, now closely we study the word, the God of this evil age that we're now living. Boy, again, these sermon, even just the title, tells us so much. The God of this evil age that we're now living may seem strange. He says, a very strange thing in this age of grace, okay? When God is taking a people for his name. Do we believe we're a part of that and we're experiencing that? A very strange thing, he says, that his bride in this evil age should be called the age of evil. So I think he's bringing out this very thing that here we are in the midst of hell on earth, God of this evil age, Satan's Eden, and yet in this time, in this setting, God is doing this work. He's bringing a people out of this, through this, in the midst of this, despite all this, for himself. Amen. Powerful. It's awesome. So let me just continue. Let me just repeat that. May seem a very strange thing in this age of grace when God is taking a people for his name's sake, that is his bride, in this evil age that should be called the age of evil. Should be called the age of evil. Isn't that the truth? The very age that God is calling a people
for his name's sake, by grace, out and is called an evil age. Now, we'll prove by the Bible that this is the age that he was speaking of. He says it again, very strange. Very strange to think that in an evil age like this, that God would then be calling his bride. So rejoice, I say. Rejoice, because again, it's God's work. We have these adoption conditions, I would call them, around us, and yet your destiny is sure. Your destination is guaranteed. So let's rejoice. Let's take heart in these things. And he keeps going on. What would God call a people out of this evil age for his name? The reason, here we go. The reason is to try her, to try his bride, when she's been made manifest. Been tried, been proven, proved to Satan, like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. So do you see again his purpose and the reality of these things, how rich we are to know that what God is performing and fulfilling in his bride, despite this evil age and the conditions around, he is going to prove to this world, he's going to prove to Satan, you won't fall. You're going to stand. You're going to overcome. So again, you can see it's just beautiful. His design, it's all pre-planned by God. And let's remind ourselves of when we think adoption, we think of rapture, you know, what the natural conditions around us might mean. It doesn't mean we have things comfortable or easy. He's in control, and he's bringing that word into expression, the word into manifestation in a people, despite everything in the natural being contrary and against that. Just shows his power, shows his grace. Looking through this, thinking of this in the scripture, turn with me, let's see, Hebrews chapter 6. Do I have that right? Let's see. Oh, I think just 13. I think the point here. Yeah, let's just read that. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And verse 15 is so key. And so, what's the order here? After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So it shows us that waiting, that enduring, that overcoming. And again, we must be mindful and remind ourselves of those things, that God is going to test. God is going to try us. God is going to prove, again, like to Satan, he's going to have a bride that's going to overcome and stand in this day. Amen. Oh, I love it. You can just go on and on. We'll just catch a few different examples here, but a few that just stood out to me so much, you know, as we think again of Enoch, adoption conditions and hardship and trials and testings. What does the scripture say in Psalms 27? We know that's the passage, the text for the rapture message, and it's beautiful. But one verse 5 there, I think, is so beautiful, so rich, where it says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion and set me upon a rock. When do I get set on a rock? When do I get hidden? In the time of peace and prosperity, of ease and comfort? No, in the time of trouble, he'll set me upon a rock. Looking at our Lord Jesus, I know Hebrews 5, you can if you're still turned there, you can, or if you're still there, you can learn, read verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Adoption, suffering, trying. I love Brother Abraham. I think I'd mentioned this before. Brother Abraham Myron, Uganda, he brought this out one time, and he said, the scripture doesn't say that he learned obedience through the things he enjoyed. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Are we going to have any different path, any different experience? Testing, it must come, it must happen. Amen. Let's just keep moving here. Look at this. This is in the message. Oh, incredible. What was the Holy Ghost given for? Okay, so let's look at our Lord Jesus. Let's look at this example. He says, now watch what God did when his son was born. He let him go for 30 years, testing him, trying him. 30 years. Now that's an interesting insight there. He says, then, oh, is he done? He says, no, then he gave him 3 years of hard trial. Yeah. Yeah. 3 years of hard trial. And then at the end of the hard trial, when he seen that his son was about the Father's business, Mount Transfiguration, see, he says the book of Luke, he took Peter, James, John, 3 witnesses, and went on top of the mountain, and there God performed the laws of adoption. But what came first? The trials, the testing. They looked up and they seen Jesus, and his clothes shined as white as the lightning, and as a cloud overshadowed him, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. I'll sit down now and have no more to say. Beautiful. That's what he says is law and truth, but just the picture there that God tested and tried, and that adoption came after that testing, after that trying, when he was proven and found to be that obedient, perfect, obedient son. While we're in, you guys are still in Hebrews, let's turn forward a few chapters to chapter 12. I just think this is fitting and encouraging. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think verse 3 is so good. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 5, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, if we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and have gave them and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Amen. That we, what? Might be partakers of his holiness. So what comes first? What's the order here? Testing, trying, chastisement, that we might become his own, the expression, the living embodied God. I love Brother Ram talks about images of Christ, images, plural. He has a body that he's working on, that he's reflecting and perfecting and showing himself through. It's just beautiful. Amen. All right. So again, adoption conditions and the power of the spoken word. And why do I say it that way? Is again, just to look into the scriptures, to look into the message and understand that Enoch and our Lord Jesus, that the conditions that might surround us as we look at their lives is not what we think would be conducive to the what God is going to do, but God is going to do it regardless. You're ordained, and that's where, again, the power of the spoken word, the power of God's will and his word to be performed in his church. If everything around you is contrary, everything around you is against you, it's okay. His word and his work will go on. His word will not return to him void. Isn't that what Isaiah 55 says? The seed, the word that's gone forth out of my mouth, do you believe you're that word? Do you believe you're that part of him expressed in this day? Then that word will be manifested. It will produce exactly what he's thank you, Brother Derek. what he's ordained. Why, I shouldn't say thank you, just he's catching something, so praise the Lord, that's all I'm saying. He may be in a whole different place than I am, but he's getting something, so thank you, Lord. But yeah, these things are so good for us to savor, again, to correct to our thinking, because we so often we think something's wrong. I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through some trouble. But let's reset ourselves, our thinking. And Jesus said, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Where's our peace? Him. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through a little tribulation? No, through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have tribulation like they've had in other ages. We have our testing and our trying and our overcoming, I believe, in this day looks much different than it maybe did in other ages. But it's going to be there. It's going to happen. He's going to... All right. Don't you love him? Let's... This is possessing the enemy's gates. We'll try to go over this slow. He says, was only a few years later, I think he's talking about Abraham here, yep, when the trials come and the church got all shook up, as is so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way it's supposed to. Sounds kind of familiar. You get shaken up. Something's wrong. Now listen what he says next. God makes it that way. God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. What? God brings tensions into the church. Every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. There you go. He's proving to the world who you are. He permits it by his own will. He permits disasters. He permits the friends to turn against you. He permits all these things and turns the devil loose to tempt you. And he'll take all but your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. He can do most anything, and it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it is more precious than gold to us. What about Abraham with Isaac on the mountain? The one promise was given, and by his loyalty and his knowing and his faith in Jehovah, it's through that and that alone God looked down and said, his seed shall possess the gates. I've sworn by myself that I'll do these things. He says there's no one greater that he could swear by, but he swore by himself. Then, if he let Abraham be tested to that final point, he's got to test you and me for that final moment. The time of decision when everything's away from you. You have to stand alone. There we go. Right there. Adoption conditions. I don't like it. This is hard. This isn't easy. Guess what? You're ordained to overcome. You're ordained to stand. You're ordained to be tested, to reflect him through it, so that his will and his attributes and his character can be manifested in that. Oh my, don't you love him? Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, sorry. Isaiah 60, same thinking, same line. Just like we quoted Psalm 27, in the time of what? Will he hide me in his pavilion? Set me on a rock? Time of trouble. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen on you. Whoa, the glory of the Lord's risen? Then, everything must just be beautiful and serene and perfect. No, there's hell on earth. Darkness is covering the earth, and gross darkness, the people. But it doesn't matter. The Lord, it's going to arise on you and on me, and his glory will be seen. Oh, my goodness. It's just, I love this. Hope it's encouraging to you, because it's encouraging to me. So, oh, I love this. Just praise the Lord. So, again, I just ask in the Lord, Lord, just change our thinking. Let's just correct ourselves and be encouraged. You know, again, if things are difficult and things are hard and things are harsh, that's okay. Perfectly okay. Footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So again, we know this, that the way may be hard, the journey difficult, but the destination is sure. It's guaranteed. Philippians 1:6, I'll just quote it. You don't have to turn that to me, but he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's set, it's settled, he's doing it. Where do you find in there anything about how you feel or how spiritual or good or you feel about yourself? He who began a good work in you will perform it until. He is going to complete his work. Amen. Just as we said earlier, the word will not return to me void, but it's going to accomplish, it's going to do exactly what I ordained it to do. Amen. Just this is actually a little further down in the message, God of this evil age. He says, he is calling not a church group, but a people for his name, that receives his name, engaged in his name, going to the wedding to be married to him. Now, I like that. That receives his name. We know his name. And as even as Brother Bram said, the word interpreted, this word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. She receives his name. She receives that word coming down. It's so much more than oh my, engaged in his name, going to the wedding to be married to him, to become part of him. See, by predestination. Just as a man that chooses a right wife in life was ordained to be part of his body, so that is, the bride of Christ will be, the bride of Christ will be, and is now, from old, ordained by God to be part of that body. Amen. Absolutely ordained by God to be part of that. So again, I think that's just reiterating this as we meditate on Enoch, adoption conditions, trying, testing, and yet keeping our eyes on that destination, the reality that it's all purposed by God, and we'll reach that destination just perfectly. In the message, seed is not air with a shuck, so I just went back into that. I encourage you, we'd watched that message from Brother Alistair, and just went back into the message there. Seed is not air with a shuck, and wow, oh, is that good. You know how it is. You just continually feast on the word, and every time you go back in, there's more and more. But I encourage you to get back into the message, because we were, even over vacation, I was just texting and sending some of the quotes and things. It was so good. Luther went to the husk with his first word, the just shall live by faith. He says Wesley had two words, sanctification, second definite work of grace. Pentecost had the third word, the restoration of the gifts. But the entire seed has to come forth. So again, he's talking about that stalk, that wheat plant, and the progression of the life. The entire seed has to come forth. See how they denominated on one word and another word? But there's got to be something that cannot be denominated. And here you go. Listen, this is us. believe by his grace. It's the entirety of the life. I love that. The entirety of the life that's in there. So he's talking about the life in the seed, the life in that plant coming through that has to produce itself again on a bride. There cannot be any more church after this. Church ages. We're at the end, brothers and sisters. We're here. We've arrived. Thanks be to God. Now, when we see these things just as true as they can be, he says, but the real genuine church, the real genuine church will bring forth the entire word of God in its fullness and in its strength. Oh, my goodness. So, again, what's the journey is difficult, but the destination is sure. The world may be falling apart, and the conditions for adoption may be difficult, but that spoken word for this age in you is going to be performed. It's going to be manifested and expressed, and that's why I'm bringing these things out, just to kind of set that view there. The real, genuine bride church will bring forth the entire word of God. He said previously, the entirety of the life that's in there has to produce itself in the bride. Isn't that beautiful? What beautiful words. Don't you just read these things and if so put you in love with them. He says the entirety of the life that's in there has to produce itself again in a bride. Oh, beautiful words, isn't it? He says, and again, the genuine bride church will bring forth the entire word of God in its fullness and its strength. Thank you, Lord, because he's spoken it, because he's ordained it. Amen. Do you love him? Thank you, Lord. Just one more quote here. There's so much more. not doing it justice, but I like this because I've shared this before. This is the message, restoration of the bride tree. And again, there's another wonderful one to get into, but he's just talking about this reality of the life, of the word, that spoken word, the seed life that God's ordained, planted, you know, as he spoke. And each one has to come forth and produce itself in the way, in the season that he ordained it. Amen. Psalms 1, think of that. All right, so he says, God has set all of his laws to serve him, both natural and spiritual, working according to his word. This should ring a bell because I feel like I've read this a few times. Regardless of conditions. We're gonna keep going through this, but he repeats this over and over, and it's so beautiful. Regardless of conditions, that word is going to be fulfilled regardless of conditions. So again, when we're thinking adoption and we're thinking what's God going to do in this hour and to bring us to perfection, we don't think that everything has to be pristine, that the situation and our circumstances are just perfect for that to happen. He says, regardless of the conditions. I love that. I had a scripture here on that. He says, yes, sir, God sets all of his laws in motion. Think of it. Let it soak in now. Because we're coming to a healing service in a few minutes. God sets all of his laws into motion that must work according to his own word. Are you getting it? See his word. His laws has to work according to his word. He commanded the sun. He commanded the moon. He commanded the earth. He commanded nature. And they all fall right in line, and all the laws work in harmony with God's spoken word. And guess what he talks about next? You. And the law of life that's in us. The law of life. You take that personal. The law of life that's in me will also bring me to a resurrection. Let me repeat that. The law of life that's in us will also bring us to a resurrection. So just like all of creation, all of nature, all of the laws, all the seeds and the life, all ordained, all planned, orchestrated, same with the life that's in you, the seed that's in you. The life, the law of life that's in us will also bring us to a resurrection. It's got to. It's impossible for it not. It's impossible for it not. Amen. That's the reason the law of life that was in Christ when the word was spoke and said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. There wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough devils. There wasn't enough anything to keep Christ in the grave till his body began to rot because the law of God would bring the word to pass. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord. And here he goes, going on. The law of God by the Holy Spirit brings any promise to pass regardless of the conditions. Job said, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Here we go. He says, regardless of how little we are, regardless of how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy we are. What? Wait a second. Did he just say that? Yeah, he said that. Regardless of how little we are, how low we are, how pure we are, how unholy we are, how sick we are, how afflicted we are, the law of God's Spirit by his word makes it obey him. Who's in control here? Who's ordained this whole thing? Not me. We just happen to be a recipient. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be. It makes his word obey him, forces the issue, and says, give it back. Oh, if we could just think of that for a minute. Forces it. Here he goes again, regardless of the conditions, because it's that life that he's planted, the seed he's planted, and it's going to produce exactly what he's ordained, regardless of the conditions. So don't you just rejoice in these things. No wonder we can give thanks in everything. Give thanks. Amen. No matter what the condition is, the law of God's word forces the condition to cope with his word. Who wins? He does. Amen. Whose word, whose will is stronger? His. Oh my goodness, let's rest in that tonight. Let's rejoice in that. Say, Lord, you do your business best. You do your business way better than I do. You know your business way better than I do. Your ways are perfect. I'm just rejoicing in you because I believe that I'm part of this. I have that word, that seed, that life inside that he's ordained and orchestrated. It's going to come to pass exactly as he's ordained it to. Amen. Is it? Don't you love him? Again, Enoch, think of Enoch. Think of the, go through the scriptures. Just Enoch was what I was drawn to, but raptured, walking with the Lord, and maybe the conditions were, it was judgment, it was destruction right on the tip. So it probably wasn't too pretty. There was wickedness, there was sin, there was ugly all around him, and yet he walked with God. So we think adoption, we think rapture. Let's just welcome these things. It's okay, because there's something happening in here, something he's ordained to be expressed in this age, to come to life in this age. He is going to prove, as Brother Bram said, he's going to prove to Satan. It's good for us to remember that. He is proving to Satan, through me, that his word will stand, that his word will be performed. Amen? That's encouraging. So we just say, yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. That's what I had tonight. Hope that's encouraging. Hope it's a blessing. But musicians, if you want to come and we'll... Amen. I know. How about this? I've got a few different songs on my heart, but he is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Amen. Just stand with me. Let's just worship the Lord. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle my way.
make me what he wants me to be. Sing it again. He is able. Make it personal. You are able to accomplish what concerns me today. You are able.
Passage in the scripture, a couple places where it talks about, you know, Jesus. He's gone out. The disciples are out on the boat. The wind is contrary, and the wind, they're fighting, and it's stormy. And just think how much of that is our life. The winds, I've always thought of that. The wind is contrary. The winds of life can be contrary. That's okay. His word is going to be performed. His word is going to be fulfilled. Amen. And he is more than able to handle anything that comes our way. Don't you love him? All right. Let's see. Peter, John, you want to come and close this?
Lord, truly, you are more than able.
Lord,
we confess that with our mouths, Lord, and we want to act in such a way, and that our lives, Lord, would mirror that and be a testimony to, Lord, that what is truly Abraham as our father called out, Lord, those things that were not as though they are.
Amen.
Lord, and as help us to walk into those things, Lord, and may they even just become real more and more every day, Lord, as we become more like you, as we step in more and more to abiding in your spirit on a minute-by-minute basis. Mm-hmm. Grant it, Father. Just go with each one.
Okay.
Be with us the rest of this week. May our hearts and minds be on you. Ask for, once again, for little Wells, the surgery tomorrow, Lord. Just pray that everything would go well, and that your hands would be upon the surgeon and everything there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all real richly. You're dismissed.